So here we are. Today is March 7th. Got that down. And where'd she go? Oh, there she is. Okay. We're doing the Quran, because when I did Islam years and years ago, I focused on the theology and the philosophy and really didn't talk about the Quran at all. And we spent many weeks focusing on what I think is the central the central idea of the Quran, which is prophethood. And there are 25 prophets altogether, and we went one prophet at a time, and it took us like, 5 months maybe? Because didn't I say the other day we did like 5 prophets per month on average? And some are, and in some cases, the information in the Quran is really, really detailed. There's a lot of stuff about, you know, about the prophet, about certain prophets, such as Noah and Moses and Jesus and, you know, people like that. Other prophets in the Islamic tradition are mentioned in passing in, you know, just a few verses in connection with a list of other prophets. What's interesting about studying the prophets in Islam, though, or in the Quran, I should say, is that there are a lot of familiar stories, but they almost always have some little twist, which is, by our lights from the biblical stories, weird. They'll have some little detail, or maybe some detail in the stories we're familiar with will be a little different in the story as told in the Quran. So what that says to me, of course, then, is that there were a lot of stories floating around there, and this is reflects the kinds of tales that were told in the Arabian Peninsula at the time the Quran was written, which is the 7th century, early 7th century. So anyway, we did that for 5 months, and now we're on to, I guess, really the next topic, which is, given all this, what does one need to do to be saved? Because one of the big themes in the Quran, the main message of the prophets, the main message is pretty obvious. You better buckle down and recognize there's only one God and do other things that are necessary so that you can expect to enjoy the gardens of delight in the afterlife as opposed to the agony of eternal hellfire. Yeah, you got a choice here, and you basically get one chance at it, and you either pass or you fail. There's no D's, C's, or B's in this course. Everything's either an A or an F, you know? And so, golly, what do I need to do? Tell me what I need to do, since the stakes are so high. And so I am presenting a discussion of that. But, of course, the Quran is not completely clear on the whole thing, unfortunately, given the stakes. But at any rate, I'm using a lot of an article I found online, which I just found really helpful. And so I'm going over 4 possible things that are germane to your salvation, according to the Quran. The first one we've already talked about. We're in the middle of the second one. The first one is belief. Of course, Muhammad was confronting that. I mean, he was a voice crying in the wilderness in some ways. I mean, Mecca, he was born in Mecca, and everybody was a polytheist. I mean, that was just the way things were done, right, for as long as anybody could remember. And here he was coming in with this message, hey, there's only one God, who, by the way, happened to have the same name as the chief God in the Meccan pantheon, but nevertheless, there's only one God, and you better shape up, otherwise you know what's going to happen. So anyway, belief is certainly a really important thing, and all the time you find the contrast between the believers and the disbelievers, right? All the time. But there are three other themes that we are exploring, and we're right sort of the beginning of theme number 2, and that is works. The 4 themes are belief. If you just took belief by itself, you'd be sort of a Lutheran, right? You know, justification by faith alone type thing. But then there's works, kind of things that well, I started to say kind of things that Methodists are into, but these are works more of a ritual variety, not so much moral types of things, although one of them is somewhat that way. Anyway, works, that's another possibility. Another possibility is repentance. That's where the more moral side of things comes into play. And then a fourth possibility, which is unlike any of the other three, is, well, really, God is the one that's in control of all this, and God simply predestined some for salvation and others for damnation, just the same as the Augustinian position. So we're going through all this, and as I say, we spent a couple of weeks, I guess, talking about belief and about the attitude of Islam to other religions, which, of course, would have the wrong beliefs. Well, not totally the wrong beliefs. Some of them would have, you know, pretty good, but not the greatest set of beliefs, such as Judaism and Islam. You know, at least they're monotheistic and they're people of the book and the whole deal. But, of course, they don't accept the Quran. They don't accept Muhammad, the prophet. They regard Jesus, the Christians regard Jesus not as a prophet, but as a partner with God, which is blasphemy and so forth. So whether they pass muster or not, I think we concluded last week or week before, whenever it was, we were talking about that. Last week it was. That the whole thing is ambiguous. It's not clear at all whether Jews and Christians pass or fail. So I guess that's still a big question mark. Well, anyway, now we're on to the second possibility, and that's works. And by the way, these are not necessarily mutually exclusive. I mean, you could say that belief, works, and repentance are together sufficient and individually necessary. For, you know, you could say something like that. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. But anyway, so we're on to works. And I just put up on the board last week, and I put it up on the board again. I hope you guys can read this. Can you read it? Is it readable? Okay, yes. Okay, good. The reason I'm asking is the other day, I mean, all my Ollie classes have started up, and one of the people emailed me and said, oh, I couldn't read anything on the board. And I thought, oh, geez, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I'm going to try to make sure that the magic marker I use is nice and, you know, nice and full of ink. So, and maybe this one's not so good. Well, I'll read them for you, though. I put the Arabic words and the English translations in parentheses. And by the way, you'll note, if you're a stickler like I am, if you're picky, in other words, you know, you have some of the consonants in Arabic are said farther back in your throat, and those are indicated by the dots underneath the letter. And of course, you have some long. You have three vowels, which are either long or short in Arabic, two A, I, and U. But anyway, so you have shahada. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, profession of faith. That kind of overlaps with belief, of course. You have, and I'm not going to try to pronounce this like an Arabic speaker, you know, but this does have a dot. Salah, and that's prayer. Okay, the zakat. That's a big deal. That's your duty to give alms. Right? San, that's another S with a dot. San, and that's fasting. And, you know, the Muslims fast, for example, during Ramadan. And, of course, Hajj, that's another one, pilgrimage. And then jihad. Well, we're going to devote a whole section to jihad. I'm not going to go into that much detail this time around, but later on, when we're done with this particular topic about salvation, we'll devote at least one, probably more than one week on jihad. So anyway, that's the list of the six pillars, as they're called, of Islam. But I did not read any passages from here. That's all I'm doing, by the way. I'm reading little sections from the Quran that support, you know, what we're talking about. So let me verify what I have up here on the board and prove to you that those are here in the Quran in various combinations, right? So I'm going to go through, and it's my yellow one, I believe. So the first one is... this is Surah number 2, 111. Yeah, 111. And observe prayer. By the way, The translation I have is a, it has a, when referring to these six things, there's a mixture of English and Arabic in this. So this one says, and observe prayer. Okay, that's here. That's salah. And pay the zakat. That's here. In other words, do your pay alms, you know, give alms. And whatever good you send on before you for yourselves, you shall find it with Allah. Surely Allah sees all that you do. Okay. Next one. This is same surah and 178. Let me just look at something here. Yeah. Is it not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or the west, but truly righteous is he who believes in Allah and the last day and the angel, we've seen this before, and the book, the angels in the book and the prophets. These of course, are the articles of faith, too. But, I mean, that's also profession of faith, right? The belief in all these things. And spends his money for love of him on the kindred and the orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and those who ask for charity and for ransoming the captives and who observes prayer and pays the zakat and those who fulfill their promise when they have made one and the patient in poverty and afflictions and the steadfast in time of war. And that would sort of cover jihad, I would think. It is these who have been proved truthful, and it is these who are God, the God-fearing. Okay. So, what I'm doing is pulling out the verses that have these lists in them. Next one's the same, Surah 197. No, I had 196. Oh, I must be wrong. Yeah. 197. I better make a note of that. 197. And complete the Hajj. All right, that's your pilgrimage. And the Umrah for the sake of Allah. But if you are kept back, then make whatever offering is easily accessible and do not shave your heads until the offering reaches its destination. And whoever among and that would be a kind of almsgiving, I would think. And whoever among you is sick or has an ailment of the head should make an expiation either by fasting, or by almsgiving, or a sacrifice of some sort. Actually. But when you are safe, then he who would avail himself of the Umrah together with the Hajj, there you go back to the pilgrimage, should make whatever offering is easily obtainable. But such of you as cannot find an offering should fast 3 days during the pilgrimage and 7 when you return home. These are 10 complete. This is for him whose family does not reside near the sacred mosque and fear Allah and know that Allah is severe in punishing. So, that's a list of several of them.
Don?
Yeah.
What's Umrah?
I don't know. Does anybody want to Google that? Reuben, you can Google it. Yes.
I read it off here.
Okay.
Umrah is an Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca.
Oh. So
that can be undertaken at any time of the year, in contrast to the Hajj, which has specific dates for an Islamic pilgrimage.
Okay, there you go. Very good. Thank you. So that's why they're mentioned together. The next one is 278. Surely those who believe, back at the profession of faith, well, yeah, and do good deeds, and observe prayer, and pay the zakat, shall have their reward from their Lord, and no fear shall come over them, nor shall they grieve. Okay, same old list. Alrighty, next one. It's up here. This is Surah number 9. Oh, well, 3135. Why didn't I get that? Let's see. Let's turn to 3135. Oh, that's 6. Wait a minute. 3135. Oh, that's not so great. Nah. Okay, let's go to server number 9. Server number 9. I don't even see it in my notes. 111. That's not right. Hang on. I must have made a mistake here. This one is, here we go, 2457. 2457.